Good evening. My Bible's open to John chapter 15. Would encourage you to get your Bible out and turn to John chapter 15. That's where we're going to spend a lot of our time this evening. I pray that we will, as we just sang a few moments ago, that we will come with open hearts tonight as we study from the Word of God, and that we will allow the Word of God to do its work in our hearts so that we can change or grow in those areas that we need to. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you have any friends? And I don't mean your hundreds or thousands of Facebook friends. I'm talking about true friends, real friends. And maybe sometimes we're not really for sure who our real friends are. Sometimes we might wonder if we really have any true friendship, because maybe at times you've experienced a difficult hardship in your life, only to find out that someone you thought was a friend walked out the door and left you alone. It's been said a friend is one who walks in when others walk out. And I think that's true, but I wonder how many of us have friends that are true friends. One philosopher said, friends, there is no friend, but they don't know about the one whom the Bible says sticks closer than a brother. And of course, we're talking about Jesus Christ. And when we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, or we might even vocalize and say that Jesus is my best friend, that might sound a little cliche, but it is in fact true. And if you do not have a friendship with Christ, I want to show you tonight from John chapter 15 how in fact you can have a friendship with him. And we need to understand what that means. But when you really get down to it, you can probably just count on your hand or hands just how many close friends you really have in your life. Have you ever maybe run into someone and they've said, oh yeah, I met so-and-so, and they said they're a friend of yours, and you say, Who was that again? What was their name? Where are they from? Maybe you've experienced that. And I say that because I wonder how many friends that Jesus has like that. That when Jesus comes up, oh yeah, I know Jesus, we're close. We're really good friends. We have a relationship. We've been close for a long time. But I wonder how many of those people will hear the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, the Lord can have a lot of fair weather friends. Those people who really don't understand what true friendship with Christ is all about. And so Jesus says something to his disciples in John chapter 15 about friendship. He says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And then he says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. For I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And then these things I command you, he says in verse 17, so that you will love one another. So it seems clear to me from this text that Jesus is offering the opportunity for us, for everyone, to have a friendship with him. The question is, do we really want to be friends with him? Because while he offers a relationship with us, while he wants to be that amazing friend, a friendship requires a response on our part. I mean, that is necessary in a friendship. It's made up of two people. I can't just walk up to someone that I've never met before and introduce myself to them and say, hey, I'm Zach. And they tell me their name. And then Dan walks up and I say, oh, hey, Dan, meet so-and-so. We're best friends. That would be pretty odd to that other person because they don't know anything about me. And so that's not how friendship works. But clearly the Lord is offering his friendship. And when you think about the life of Jesus, I mean, you think about what he was known as. He was known although it may be in a critical way, as a friend of sinners. Remember, this man eats with sinners. He spends time with sinners. And we see in that statement what kind of friend Jesus is. That Jesus is the friend to maybe those the world rejects or the world doesn't see any value in. Jesus was oftentimes with those people, giving them value, giving them worth, showing what a friendship with him looks like. But of course, ultimately, Jesus offers us a friendship with him. As he says in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than someone laid down his life for his friends. So ultimately, the greatest invitation that we have to be a friend of God, to be a friend of Christ, is given to us on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. So I ask the question tonight, are you a friend of Jesus? Am I a friend of Jesus? What do these verses here teach us about friendship with God? Well, I think the first thing that we see is that a friend will tell another friend his secrets. Or in other words, a friend will tell another friend everything that he has going on in his life. He is able to share with him the hidden secrets of his heart. A true friend is the one that you're able to go to and talk to them about anything. Or a true friend is the one who you go and you share the good news with them. Or a true friend is the one whom you go to and you even share the bad news with them. In times like that, you don't just pick up the phone and call a complete stranger or start talking to someone at Publix. You want to talk to someone who is your friend and you let them in your life and you expose what's on your heart. And you think about what Jesus says in John 15, when he says to his disciples, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. He says, but I am calling you my friends, for whatever the Father has revealed to me or has said to me, or I've heard from my Father, I am making known to you. And so there's really a lot packed in that. I think the fact that Jesus says, you are my friends, is there's this sense of companionship where we're working together. I am revealing this to you so that we can have the same purpose, or so that you can take the work in which I accomplish in my life and in my ministry, and you can continue it on. You can take that work and spread the message of the gospel of eternal life after my departure. Jesus says, I'm not calling you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. In other words, I am making known to you the will of the Father. You know, Jesus would quote in Matthew chapter 13, I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. And you think about what Jesus is revealing to us in the Gospels and what he reveals to his disciples. He is revealing to them amazing truths. He is laying this out there for them. He was letting them know what is going on and what his ministry is really all about. Remember in Matthew chapter 26, turn your Bible there. Remember in Matthew chapter 26, I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Matthew 26 at verse 36 says, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. But it says, taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. So here is Peter, James, and John with Jesus. And Jesus is revealing to them that he is sorrowful, that he is troubled by what is happening here. And there's something about the companionship, the friendship of Peter, James, and John that Jesus wanted. Just be with me. Now, of course, they fell asleep on the watch. They fell asleep, and Jesus only told them to stay awake, be on guard. He says, watch in verse 41 and pray that you may not enter into temptation. But I want us to think about, that's what friendship with Christ looks like. While Christ reveals to us his will, while God has revealed to us his commandments, what we can do with Christ is we can reveal to him the secrets of our heart. Now, of course, nothing is hidden from him. Nothing that we share with God is something that is a surprise to him. I think about Psalm 139 and verse 4. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. But there's something about the friendship with God that we can go to him and tell him what is on our hearts, what is troubling us. Psalm 56 at verse 8 says, you have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. See, there's something with the friendship of Christ that we can trust, that we can share with him anything. But then to go along with that, a friend also tells the truth. A friend also will tell the truth. This is important when it comes to friendship. I mean, you want someone to speak to you and tell you the truth, even maybe when you don't want to hear it. And I'm going to put a passage on the screen here in Proverbs chapter 27. When you think about a friend will be honest with a friend and a friend will tell you the truth, it's important that we tell the truth because Proverbs 27 and verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You understand what that means? The wounds of a friend. It means that you are willing to wound a friend if it means that you can help them, or if it means that it's necessary in order so that they aren't harmed. I mean, think about what that means spiritually. That means a true friend is going to help you, or a true friend is going to be willing to grab you as you go astray or as you make a wrong turn. A true friend will grab you and pull you and talk to you and say, because I love you, here's what you need to hear. You're going the wrong direction. You're going the wrong way. I want to warn you. Now, if you've ever done that, it's possible that they're going to get mad at you. It's possible that they're going to say, what do you think? You're perfect, or you're better than me. And they really might get upset. But I tell you, oftentimes what happens with that is that the more that they think about it, the more they realize that you're telling me the truth. And understand what you're telling me is the word of God, and I need to hear this. And that friend might just respond, thanks for caring enough to warn me. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I always think about this verse. I may have told you this. I used this verse years ago, and a little boy looked over at his dad and said, Dad, you kiss mom. So there's not many kids in the audience tonight. But you get the idea behind this. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In other words, for an enemy doesn't care. Everything's fine. I don't worry about it. You make that choice, or if that feels good to you, or if that's your truth and you think that's okay, that's great. Why not? Sure. I'll be your friend regardless. Doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you do. No, a friend will tell another friend the truth. Or as it's been said, a true friend will stab you in the front. They'll tell you what you need to hear. 2 Timothy 2 at verse 22 says, flee the youthful desires, but pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace, along with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So as we think about this question, am I a friend of Jesus? One of the ways in which you can measure that is the friends that you have around you right now. Are you surrounding yourself with others who are friends with Jesus as well? Now, you may have friends that aren't Christians. And I don't have a problem with that. In fact, I think that's important. We got to have relationships with people who are not Christians. We have to be able to build a relationship with them and to be able to show them and influence them in a way that helps them come to know the Lord. And if that's your objective in that relationship, I think that's great. You can reveal Christ to them, show them what Christ looks like in your own life. However, if that's the only people that you hang out with are those who are not Christians, well, eventually they're going to influence you. And I'm saying all this to say you need to make your closest friends, and I hope there's young people listening at home, you need to make your closest friends people that love the Lord. Your closest friends need to be those who build you up, who encourage you in the Lord, who tell you that God's way is best. That's the kind of people that you need to be influencing in your life. This is what Jesus says about friendship. And so let me just show you a few things that Jesus says about this. First of all, a friend of Jesus will obey him. I mean, how do we demonstrate? If I say, yes, I'm a friend of Jesus, how do I prove that? How do I demonstrate that? Well, I demonstrate that through obedience. I just do what he says. I just do what he says. Maybe you've experienced a friend and you find out that that friend has been talking behind your back. Maybe gossiping about you, slandering you. Or maybe that friend has stolen from you, or they've lied to you. And maybe that friend comes up and says, I'm sorry that I did that. And as Joel talked about this morning around the table, you forgive. And then the next day, maybe they lie to you again, or they steal from you again, and they come back to you and they say, I'm so sorry that I've done that. Will you forgive me? And you say, yes. Then the next day, the same thing happens. I'm sorry. And will you forgive me? Let me make it up to you. Let me take you out for a cup of coffee, or let me take you to dinner. And you say, okay. And then you go out to dinner, and they provide you dinner or coffee. And then the next day they do the very same thing. Then they come back and say, I'm so sorry. You know, let me buy you dinner again. At some point you say, I don't want dinner. I don't want coffee. I just want you to be my friend. I wonder how many people are like that with Jesus. Lord, I love you so much. Lord, we are such good friends, but then go out and willfully sin, willfully choose to reject the commandments of God, and then come back and say, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And then go out and do it again, and then it just goes on and on and on. And I wonder if the Lord's not saying, just show me that you love me. I hear you saying that you love me, but your actions aren't matching those words. And so at some point you have to show me, just do it. It's about living my commandments. Jesus goes on to say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the way you show your love. Just do what God tells you to do. Remember the story in 1 Samuel 15 about King Saul. He was commanded by God to go destroy his enemies. And he partially did. He destroyed them, but he kept back some of the livestock for himself. And then Samuel comes along and he says, did you do all the Lord commanded you to do? And he says, yes, we did it all just as God commanded. And then Samuel says, well, what is this bleating of the sheep that I hear? What's that noise? Why do I hear this? I thought you said you obeyed the commandments of the Lord, Saul. And Saul said, well, yeah, I did. But I was going to dedicate those, you know. And then later on, what Samuel says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. In other words, this is what God wants. True friends obey his commandments. And I would go on to add that this obedience is an active obedience. And what I mean by that is that it's not, being a Christian, being a friend of God, isn't just about what you don't do. It isn't the absence of certain things in your life. It's not, I'm a friend of God because I don't cheat, and I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't commit adultery, I don't do those things, so I'm a friend of God. But that would be like me saying, Richard, I'm your friend because I don't steal from you. I haven't stolen your Land Cruiser, or you know, I don't lie to you. That's not what a friendship is. Jesus says, if you are my friends, do what I command you. It's not just avoiding the wrong things. This obedience is about doing the right thing. It's about doing the right thing. Remember Psalm 1, blessed is man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked or stands in the way of sinners or sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. That's the kind of person, it seems to me, that just delights in the law of the Lord and says, I want to obey God. That's a friend of Jesus. I want to obey Jesus because I want to. You know, this time of year, you might be buying gifts, and you buy gifts for the ones that you love, and you see something, you immediately think, oh, that's the perfect gift. They'll love that. And why do you do that? Because you love them. You want to do that. I wouldn't suggest going maybe to your wife, guys, and saying, well, I didn't get you anything. My gift to you is that I didn't do anything bad to you this year. See, love and friendship is about wanting to do, being active. That's what friendship with God is all about. But then let me say this as well. A friend of Jesus obeys his commandments continually. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. There's something about that word do that is continuous. It speaks of this constant obedience. And when you hear that, constant obedience, how do you feel? And wow, that seriously? I mean, constant obedience? Yes, constant obedience. And I know the world in which we live, in which Daryl prayed so well, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one, but the evil one trying to destroy us. Every single day, what God wants from us is a constant, consistent obedience. And when we think that is a tall order, we have to remember that we must be dependent on God to get us through this. That we must, as Paul says in Galatians 5, walk by the Spirit. Or he says in Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That is, give me strength, Lord, to be the man, to be the woman that you want me to be. A friend of Jesus obeys him continually. A friend of Jesus obeys him in all things. Obeys him in all things. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I think it's the New King James Version says that you do whatever I command you. Whatever I command you, you are my friends if you obey. That's like being a parent. You know, when you tell your children what to do, what you expect of them, you remember, those of you maybe have grown children, or you might even remember asking your parents why. You know, why this and why that? And then the dreaded because I said so. I never thought I'd say that, but I say that all the time now. Because I said so, that's why. You don't need an explanation. Because I said so. And when it comes to the commandments of God, that's the way that we need to look at things. You know, maybe a Christian, why is it a sin to gossip? Because God says so. Why is it a sin to have sex outside of marriage? Because God says so. Why is it a sin to lie? Because God says so. Why is drunkenness a sin? Because God says so. You know, at some point, our children grow up, and when they think back about what mom and dad told them to do and how they told them to do it, when they ask the question, why? Because I said so, and they didn't quite understand it. As those children grow and mature, they begin to see, just like we can, we look back and see, well, now I know why mom and dad said no, or why mom and dad said yes on this, because they've grown, because they've matured. And in the same way, spiritually, it could be that a Christian doesn't understand why God says this is a sin or why God says do that, but we do it anyway because God said so. And eventually, as we grow and as we mature in our faith, we begin to see the wisdom of God in his commands. And so a true friend of Jesus will obey him even in the smallest matters. And then finally, a friend of Jesus obeys him with joy. A friend of Jesus obeys him with joy. That's what one of the high school students said this in class, that it really changed the wording of this point because of what he said this morning. So What is it about obedience? How should we obey? Yes, here's a commandment. How should we obey? And he said, with joy. And I like that. That's how we should obey. We should obey the commandments of God, not just because we have to, but because we want to, because we want to be pleasing to the Father. You know, Jesus, as I mentioned, had a lot of fair weather friends. There are a lot of people who followed him, but they weren't friends with him. They would abandon him. Remember last week with John chapter 6, where Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fish, and there's a huge crowd following him. And as long as Jesus is dishing out the food, well, everybody's happy. Everybody's following Jesus. But then, of course, when Jesus begins talking about the bread come from heaven, and if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, well, then you will have life. And Jesus really has this conversation of, if you really want to be my friend, here's what's expected out of you. When it happens, they leave. They walk away. They're fair weather friends. Maybe even the disciples. They ran as well when things got difficult on Jesus. They returned. Yes, they came back. But you know, a friend will be loyal. A friend will not betray you. Remember Judas? Remember Judas in the garden? He betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And remember what Jesus said to Judas' friend? Do what you've come here to do. I think it's interesting that Jesus used that word friend. Do what you have come here to do. Seems that even in that moment that Jesus is revealing to Judas, you can be my friend. But Judas was so blind by his greed, his sinfulness, that he couldn't see the invitation from Jesus to be his friend. So tonight I'll ask us all the question, do you have a friendship with God right now? Are you a friend of Jesus? Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for me. He was born to die so that we can live. Jesus wants to be our friend. But what is our response? Will we respond to him? You know, if you're not his friend, you know what the Bible says? If you're not a friend of Jesus, well, then by default, you are his enemy. James says in James 4, verse 4, do you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Or Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 30, whoever is not with me is against me. So if you choose not to be a friend of Jesus, you are making a choice by default. You are making a choice to be an enemy of Jesus. You can't say, well, I'm not on any side. Yes, you are. You're on one side or the other. And that's what Jesus says. So will you be a friend of Jesus? Will you obey his commands? And it could be that you need to obey the command of Jesus tonight to be baptized for the remission of your sins. That is how a friendship with Jesus begins, by obeying his commands. And Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. So I ask you the question tonight. Are you a friend of Jesus? If we can help you with that, please let us know while we stand and sing.